Would like for you to open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. We talked about Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4 this morning. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. But this is just one verse from a section of Scripture that really can help us if we will let God work with us in our lives. It can really help us to mental wellness and well-being. The church at Philippi had some concerns about persecution, and the Apostle Paul was writing to them in this regard. In chapter 1, in verses 27 through 30, he says these words, "Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that from God. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me, and now hear in me." The church at Philippi had some problems, as you know, from the beginning. The Apostle Paul, while there, was cast into prison. And you remember the conversion of the Philippian jailer as a result of his preaching to that man after a great earthquake hit that prison and loosed all the bars and cell doors. And of course, the Apostle Paul told him that they were all there, and he had an opportunity to preach the gospel to him. And when he heard the gospel and believed it, he obeyed it, and he became a Christian. But after that, the Apostle Paul said that he was a Roman citizen, and he demanded that the leaders of the city of Philippi come out and release him from prison, so that they would know what they had done was against the law. Nevertheless, Paul moved on from Philippi to other places. But from that time forward, the church at Philippi started having persecution from outside. And Paul spoke of this here in Philippians 1 and verses 27 through 30. He did not want them to lose heart over this persecution, but he encouraged them to have peace within. Well, the same prescription is effective for us today as we deal with life's problems. And this evening, I would like for us to think about seven exercises to mental wellness that are found here in Philippians chapter 4 and verses 4 through 9. Let's read these verses together, and then we'll go back and look at these seven exercises. Paul writes this, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness or forbearance or moderation, some translations say, be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you." Well, let's think about these verses tonight as we think about seven exercises to mental wellness. The first one is found in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. We need to have joy in our life. And of course, if you were here this morning, then you heard a lot about what it means to have joy in one's life. But the Christian has everything to rejoice about. God has given the Christian so many great blessings. And we have all those spiritual blessings that are in the heavenly places in Christ. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. And so, as we think about what God has done for the Christian, we have so many reasons to rejoice, but especially we can rejoice over the truth that God has given us all things freely to enjoy. Think about what Paul writes in Romans chapter 8 and verse 32. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Just meditating upon that one verse brings joy to my life. And if we would think about what God has done for us every day, then we would be joyful every day. So the first step to mental wellness is to rejoice in the blessings of God. But then notice the second step. Paul says, let your gentleness, or I think a better translation might be moderation. Let your moderation be known to all men. To be moderate means not to go to extremes one way or another. And you know, going to those extremes can really rob us of our joy and our well-being in Christ. There is the extreme of excess on the one hand, and many people fill up whatever pleasures that they desire, whether that may be with alcohol or drugs or illicit sexual things. They fill those things up and they go to an extreme, and that is something that they get in trouble with a lot. There is, on the other hand, the opposite extreme of isolation and privation. There are some in the religious world who believe, well, you've got to go out and be isolated and half starve yourself and deny yourself all these physical things, and that you have to do that in order to be holy. Well, no, that's not the right way to go either. You see, both of those are extremes. But what Paul is saying here is that for mental wellness, we need to have moderation. We need to be temperate. We need to be a people who understands balance within our lives. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 25, the Apostle Paul says, everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. We need to be temperate, not going to extremes one way or the other, but simply living the kind of life that God wants us to live, that we can live to be faithful to Him. So being moderate, there is another exercise for mental wellness. Third, notice also in verse 5, the Lord is at hand. Understanding the presence of God helps us toward mental wellness. You know, God is present everywhere and in everything. And when we truly realize this, we will understand that we are not alone. We will also understand that there is someone who knows exactly what we're going through, who understands exactly what it's like to be in our situation, and He cares. Now, in understanding that, we can then realize how effective that is for mental well-being. So many people think that they're alone or by themselves, and they will let that aloneness or that isolation drive them to despair. But for the Christian, he or she is never alone because God is always there. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, we read, for He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And so recognizing the presence of God is a step toward mental wellness. Number four, we see in verse 6, be anxious for nothing. How many people get carried away with worry today? We can worry about finances. We can worry about the state of the lawn. We can worry about clothing. We can worry about just anything and everything that comes up. And we can drive ourselves crazy, drive ourselves up the wall, worrying about things. But for the Christian, we are not supposed to worry about things because we understand that God is in control and that God will provide. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 31, "Therefore do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?'" God knows what we need, and He is going to provide for us, and we can trust in Him. So be anxious for nothing. Don't worry. So think about how that contributes to mental wellness also. When we remove worry from our life, then we can experience a peace that no one else knows. That is, no one but Christians know, because we're not letting the worldly things control us and dominate us. Number 5, in order to have mental wellness, we need to pray. Look at what Paul says in the second part of verse 6. "But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." We need to pray to God each and every day. We need to tell Him about our cares. We need to let Him know what is on our heart. And we need to give Him those things so that He can then bless us. You see, God wants us to talk to Him. He wants us to tell Him our needs and our requests. And we also need to go to God in prayer to give Him thanks for all the things that He does bless us with. When we pray, we are to let go of those things that trouble us. Prayer is another avenue whereby we can deal with problems within this life. And God really does want us to cast all of our cares upon Him because He cares for us, Peter tells us. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, the Apostle Paul wrote that we are to pray always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. We need to pray. We need to pray for ourselves. We need to pray for one another. We need to pray for our friends. We need to pray for the sick. Prayer is powerful. The fervent prayer of the righteous man avails much, James tells us. Prayer will help us along toward mental wellness. Number 6, we need to think positively. Think positively. Look at Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue and if there is any praiseworthy, meditate on these things." You know, our life can be filled with negative thinking if we let ourselves do that. We can just think bad things about ourselves and think how awful we are and how many sins we've committed. Why, we could focus on that all day long. Just in my own life, I know that I've made a lot of mistakes. I've committed sins. And I freely confess that. And if I were to dwell on all those things all the time, it would bring me down. And it would be an awful thing to have to live with, you know, to wake up every morning just faced with that list of negative things in one's life. Well, we've got to put that away. And we've got to not give ourselves permission to think about those things. We've got to focus upon what Paul says here in verse 8, to think on these things that are true and noble and just and pure and lovely and of good report and virtuous and praiseworthy. That is so important, because how we think is how we will perceive ourselves as being and how we will perceive others as being, and it will influence all of our life. Every moment of our life is influenced by our thinking. And so that's why it's so important that we think positively. We need to be actively controlling our thoughts and not allowing those negative thoughts to run wild, you know, to spiral out of control. We need to recognize when we're having those negative thoughts, and we need to tell ourselves, "Now stop. I'm not going to go down that path. I'm not going to think those things. I'm going to think about good things." I know a brother in Christ who gets up every morning and he looks in the mirror And he says, God loves you, and you are His child, and you are working for Him, and you're going to do great things today in the service of the Lord. Those are some wonderful thoughts to think about when you get up in the morning and when you start talking to yourself in your own mind, you know, as you stand in front of the mirror while you're shaving or while you're putting your makeup on or whatever it might be. Yes, we need to love God with our mind. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37. Think on these things, Paul tells us here. That is an exercise for mental wellness. And then finally, number 7, we need to follow good examples. Look at what he says here in verse 9. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these things do, and the God of peace will be with you. Following good examples is such an important part of our life. We need to look to our elders. We need to look to our deacons. We need to look to those in the community that we respect who do well and follow those good examples to see how they're living their life and to then emulate what they are doing. But most importantly, we need to follow the example that Jesus has left for us. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21, Peter says, "For to this you were called, because Christ Jesus also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow His steps." We need to walk in the steps of Jesus each and every day, following His example, loving people like He loved people, being compassionate to people like He was compassionate to people, being merciful to others as He was merciful to others. And in following that good example, then we can have mental wellness. Now think how all of these 7 things come together to bring the Christian mental wellness. Rejoice. Live moderately. Recognize the presence of God. Don't worry. Pray. Think positively. And follow good examples. Now, what is the result of doing those things within our life? Paul tells us in verse 7, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Yes, we will have mental wellness because God's peace will be in our life, because we have practiced these things to make us mentally well. And when we do what God says to do, there is great blessing for us each and every day. Now, each one of these things that we've discussed, I could point you to psychological studies that they have done, that psychologists have done, to point out how each one of these things is something that is beneficial and helpful for mental wellness. And look, they're all found right here in the Word of God. Now we can trust God's Word. God knows more about us than we know about ourselves. So why not put your trust in Him tonight and do what He says to do? Why not rejoice in your life, recognizing the great blessings of God? Why not live a moderate life, not going to extremes one way or another? Why not understand that God is with us and that He's present each and every day? Why should we worry about things that we have no control over? We shouldn't. Why shouldn't we pray more to God, bending our knees to Him and telling Him what's on our hearts and our minds? Why not go out and think positively this week and really think well of yourself because God thinks well of you? And why not follow those good examples that God has given us in His Word, and that we see around us in the lives of godly men and women each and every day? Oh, the peace that we can have in our life. Yes, it is great. It is good. It is wonderful to have such peace. And it is there for us if we will simply listen to God. Are you a Christian this evening but need prayers of the church? Perhaps there's some way in which you have fumbled the ball, so to speak, and you have not had mental wellness, and you so want that back within your life. Why not rededicate yourself to God this evening? Study these verses in Philippians 4, verses 4 through 9, and put these things into practice on a daily basis. Perhaps you're not a Christian and you would like to become one. You want that peace of mind that is in Christ that you don't have in the world. This evening, we stand ready to help you in that area by hearing the Word of God and believing it, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus as Christ, and being baptized for the forgiveness of sins. You can start on that path toward mental wellness and true spirituality. You see, all of these things flow from the Spirit. They flow from the Spirit of God. They flow from the spirit of man that God has created. And He wants us to live in these ways for our own benefit, because it is sin that brings us down. It is sin that hurts us. It is sin that destroys us. And it is sin that takes away our mental wellness. Why not have mental wellness this evening while together we stand and sing this song of encouragement?